The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 12, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 15th, 2008, in Christchurch, New Zealand.
So it is very nice to be here with such a wonderful gathering of Vaishnavas. Thank you very much for blessing me with your association. Tonight we are going to studying the most amazing book that has ever been given in the history of the universe, Bhagavad Gita. Chapter number 12, text number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mayeva mana adhatsva mayi bhudhing nivesaya. Nivashishyasi mayeva ata urdvang na sangshayaha. Krishna says, just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. Purport. One who is engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service lives in a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there is no doubt that his position is transcendental from the very beginning. A devotee does not live on the material plane. He lives in Krishna. This holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. Therefore, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal potency are dancing on his tongue. When he offers Krishna food, Krishna directly accepts these eatables. And the devotee becomes Krishnaized by eating the remnants. One who does not engage in such service cannot understand how this is so. Although this is a process recommended in the Bhagavad Gita and in other Vedic literatures. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. When Krishna says Nasangshayaha, he means Nasangshayaha. You know what it means? Without a doubt. Na means not, and Sangshayaha means doubt. So when Krishna affirms This is without a doubt. You understand? Then we know it is very solid, it is very firm. It is not flaky, as we say in non-academic language. Krishna is never flaky. He tells it exactly like it is. Nasangshayaha, without a doubt. So what point is he affirming here in his non-flaky, without a doubt manner? He is telling us what is the result of fixing our mind upon him. And not only the mind, but also that other element which is more subtle than the mind. Do you know that other element? Higher than the mind, there is the intelligence. So Krishna is advising, you fix your mind upon me, and then also engage your intelligence in me. When you get your mind and your intelligence absorbed in Krishna, then you're really Krishna conscious. You're really, really, really Krishna conscious. And the result of getting your mind and your intelligence fixed in Krishna is you get the most amazing perk that has ever been given in the history of perks. You get to live with Krishna. Then you say, well, does it mean he moves in with me, or what does this mean? He takes up residence in my house. Yes, he does. He moves into your house, and he will let you move into his house also. Goloka Vrindavan. Or here. This is also his house. So you can practice, you can live at home, and Krishna will come and live with you, or you can come in Krishna's home. In either case, you will live with Krishna. And all you have to do is pay the rent, or to get the privilege of living with Krishna, is to engage your mind, your intelligence in him. It's a very simple thing. Or to put it in a nutshell, be Krishna conscious. That's all. That's a simple thing. Be Krishna conscious. At the present moment, in material life, we are conscious of everything except for Krishna. That's the problem. It's like someone that we see that sometimes certain persons, when they donate to the temple, they'll take something that's completely a piece of junk that they can't use anymore, and they give it to the temple. And after they've gotten all the sense gratification they can out of it, they can't get any more than that, and give it to the temple. Some broken old car or something like that. We see that mentality, you see. Or like in India, some family, they have some son who's mentally retarded, they'll give him to the temple. You can be a brahmachari in the temple. But that you shouldn't be that way. You see, that Krishna is at the end of the list. Everybody else, you know, I'm in the first of the list, my wife is the second, my kids are third and fourth, and it goes on down. And the very end of the list, if there's something left at the end, well, that's for Krishna. See, that's not what it means to be Krishna conscious. It's a cheating mentality. There was one Christian, actually he was not really a Christian, but there was one man, a very sinful man. He went to church. He thought, I will protect myself. So he went to church one day and put $5 in the plate. And that's all he ever did. He put $5 in the church one Sunday in the plate they passed around in the Christian church, you know, for collecting the offerings. So, the time of death, the Yamadutas were hauling him off to you know where. And he said, but wait a minute. You can't do this. I gave $5 at church. So the Yamadutas said, okay, we'll check with God. So they took him the other direction up to the gates. This is a story only, but it makes a good point. Took him to the gates of the Vaikuntha world. They went inside and they had a little conversation with the Supreme Person. And they came out with a $5 bill in their hand. The same $5 he'd put in the plate. And he said, what did he say? He said, tell him, give him his $5 back and tell him to go to hell. So, it is simply by making a show of bhakti, you see, you can't live with Krishna. You cannot qualify yourself by making a show. You have to actually change your heart. You have to factually engage your mind and intelligence in Krishna. You see, factually do that as a regular ongoing experience from the moment you get up in the morning, the moment you arrive at your office, when you're dealing with your wife, your kids, your friends, your neighbors, when you come to the temple, whatever you're doing, you have to always engage your mind and intelligence in Krishna. That means you have to deal with the material energy in a Krishna conscious way. You may say, well, that means I won't function well. But that's a complete misunderstanding that comes from the Mayavadi philosophy. Because the Mayavadi, he can't deal with the material energy. He just says, neti, 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 it's false, it's false, it's false. He can't deal with the material energy. He doesn't know how to deal with it. Because he doesn't know who owns it. But the Vaishnava sees everything in terms of the actual owner. You see, no matter what thing it may be. It may be his job, it may be his family, it may be his... could be anything, but he sees everything in relation with Krishna. And therefore he engages it in such a way that pleases Krishna. So in this way he becomes very expert. And he can remain transcendentally situated in all times, all places, and all circumstances, whether it's Sunday at the temple or Monday morning at the office. He's equally situated, equipoised in every situation in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement, when it is fully understood and realized, the whole world will embrace this philosophy, because it's the most practical, down-to-earth philosophy, and at the same time completely transcendental to this material existence. It's absolutely amazing what Prabhupada has given us. A way to deal in the most expert way with the material nature and at the same time become completely transcendental to it at the same time, you know, simultaneously. It's amazing. As Prabhupada gives the example, use a thorn to take out a thorn. This material nature is thorn. We got it stuck in our leg. We want to get that thorn out, the material in nature. But you can use that same material nature expertly to extricate yourself from the material nature. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Simply by fixing your mind and intelligence upon Krishna. That's all. Srila Prabhupada has given us the most perfect system. We should not doubt what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Sometimes others come along and they try to say that, you know, Prabhupada is not perfect. He was sincere, but he wasn't perfect in his presentation of the bhakti pathway. That's completely bogus. Prabhupada is the most empowered, the most realized spiritual master for giving bhakti in the most practical, down-to-earth, and at the same time completely transcendental way. There's no greater acharya. That's a fact. So we should accept this pathway that Srila Prabhupada has given us by carefully reading, studying, and applying what he has given in these wonderful books. And if we do so, our perfection is guaranteed. There's no reason to suffer. Suffering is simply a bad dream, actually. You don't have to suffer, ever. Suffering simply means you're having a bad dream, a nightmare. And what is that nightmare? I'm a man. I'm a woman. It's a nightmare. I'm this body. It's a nightmare, actually. We're having a nightmare. Do you know you're having a nightmare? Of course, we're waking up from it by the mercy of the Lord. But we're in a nightmare thinking that I'm the body. I'm New Zealander, I'm Indian, American. So we have to wake up from this nightmare and go, whoosh, oh God, thank God it was only a dream. I wasn't really that body after all. I was really an eternal servant of the Lord, engaged eternally in his pastime, but somehow or other, in the middle of one of his leelas, I nodded out and dreamt that I was the Lord of all I surveyed. And the dream went on for through 8,400,000 different phases, and it was pretty heavy, but whew, I'm really glad I woke up and I'm back here in Krishna's pastimes once again. You see. So this is the process where you can actually wake up into your original eternal identity. Jivera Svarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. The constitutional position of a living entity is he is that he is the eternal servant of that supreme, all attractive, all beautiful, all powerful, all renounced, all famous, all wealthy, and all intelligent personality of God, Krishna. There's no one like Krishna. No one even comes close. Even Balaram plays second fiddle to Krishna. When to speak of Narayan or Vishnu, they can't even play the flute. Some people get disturbed because they're from a different sampradaya, you know, where they say Vishnu is the supreme. And they get real disturbed, the ISKCON people say, no, Krishna is the supreme. That disturbs their mind. But in fact, I did a home program the other night in Sydney, and this was a big issue. This was a big, big issue in that meeting. Vishnu or Krishna. But actually, there's no issue. It's like a policeman at home. You see, he's relaxed in his blue jeans and his t-shirt, sitting around on the couch, you know, relaxed. But when he puts on his uniform and goes to work, he's a policeman. Engaged in, you know, managing, enforcing the rules and regulations. It's the same person. So God at home is Krishna. And he puts on his uniform. He puts on two extra arms. He puts on his uniform and goes to work. And he's Vishnu. But it's actually the same person. So there's really no difference between Vishnu and Krishna. It's just different activities, different leelas. That's all it really is. So there's... We have no argument with these people that say that Vishnu is the supreme. We say, yes, we agree. That's why we call ourselves Vaishnavas. Vaishnava means devotees of Vishnu. Even though we are Krishnites, we usually call ourselves Vaishnavas because we are devotees of Vishnu. We just happen to know more about his identity than those who only know him in his four-armed managerial capacity. We happen to know who he is and what he's like when he goes home from his beat and relaxes with his family members. You see, somebody who knows the officer on the beat, they have a certain relationship. But somebody who knows him at home, they're more intimately associated with him. So we not only know him on his beat when he's managing the universal affairs, Vishnu, his club, his disc, his conch shell, like this, you see, his lotus flower. But we know him when he goes home and he puts those two arms aside and he just plays the flute. He has entertainment with his most intimate devotees in a very casual, relaxed atmosphere. That's the God that we know in Krishna consciousness. But we have no argument with the other sampradayas. We just happen to have some inside information that they don't have. That's all. Because our acharyas have revealed this to us. That's all. There are different rasas that exist in the spiritual world. They are only understanding up to dasharas, servant of God. That's all they can understand. They don't know the other rasas, parental ras, friendship ras, and conjugal ras. So we have no objection. If they're attached to that rasa, then that's their nature. And that's fine. We encourage them in that. So we should not doubt Krishna. We should not doubt the cowherd boys and the gopis. They are real. They are real. It's not simply some mythology that someone could have that relationship with Krishna. You see, they don't understand that. But we understand. I mean, it's clearly given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the most authoritative literature. Vedavyasa had compiled all the Vedic literatures, and he was feeling that I have left something out. He was feeling morose, and then Narada Muni came, his Guru Maharaj appeared, and revealed to him, you have failed to exclusively glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So he did that, and now the Bhagavatam is the result. So we should take advantage of this realization of the compiler of the Vedic literatures himself, Vedavyasa, and enter into this understanding as given here very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I can ask if there's any questions. Yes.
It's also a common misconception amongst those who call themselves Hindu.
To speak up.
It's also a misconception of those who call themselves Hindus to see Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva as one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
How do we?
Yes, this is a common there within Indian culture. Modern-day Indian society, there are certain persons who accept the Advaita-vadi or monistic teachings of Shankara as the highest truth, that everything is one. So according to their understanding, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are the same, and ultimately everyone is the same. Everything is the same. The dog is also supreme. The caterpillar, the worm, the parking meter, it's all one, it's all Brahman. That's their ultimate philosophy. So what is the proper understanding? Actually, I met with an Advaitavad philosopher in Sydney the other night, an Australian man who's been studying Advaitavad and teaching Advaitavad philosophy at some institute. And we had a very long conversation about this point, and he was absolutely amazed to understand why Shankara did that, and what Shankara's ultimate point was. It's a very, in other words, this idea they're all the one is simply means they've taken the Shankara viewpoint. But Shankara taught this idea of the Brahman, of the that everything is one, as a tactic to defeat Buddhism. Because when Lord Krishna was on this planet, it was Vaishnav culture, full-on Vaishnav culture. But then after he left, then things deteriorated like anything. The Vedic scriptures describe how in the Treta Yuga, the Brahmins would chant mantras very, very expertly. They could take an old cow, put him into the fire while chanting mantra, and then that old cow would come out with a rejuvenated young body of a calf. Just imagine if we could do that here in Christchurch for all the old people. You come to our temple. We have a special yajna. You can bring your old body here and you come out as a teenager. We could make billions of dollars if we could do that here in the temple, you know. But, I mean, it's a fact. The Brahmins had the power to do those things. But now we don't have any such qualified Brahmins. And the mantras had to be chanted so expertly they would have a referee Brahmin listening to every syllable, even if one syllable was uttered incorrectly, could throw off the whole thing. But they had him so perfectly done. So after Krishna left, the people of India who become degraded into cow killing, just like now cow killing is going on all over the world, they became degraded at that time also. And they were saying, the Brahmins did it. They were killing cows in the Treta Yuga, so it's okay, it's Vedic. So they were badly, badly abusing the Vedic literatures in this way. So Buddhadev came, he said, forget the Vedas, forget God. If you cause suffering to other creatures, that suffering will bounce back on you. It's karma, and therefore you must become ahimsa, non-violent. And he taught the principle that everything is zero. Void is the ultimate reality. And denied the Vedas and got them to stop abusing the Vedic scriptures. So what to do? Actually, Buddha was Krishna himself. So what to do? Krishna then ordered Lord Shiva that you appear as Shankara, as a Brahmana, and you take the Vedanta Sutra and you present it, you twist by grammatical word jugglery the sutras of Vedanta Sutra to explain the absolute truth in an impersonal way. In this way, reestablish the faith of the Indian people in the Vedas, reestablish Vedic culture. So he did that in a short lifespan of just 38 years or something like that. He completely defeated Buddhism, drove it totally beyond India. And we had to go over to China and Japan like that. Completely drove it out of India. Practically nothing left of Buddhism there. Maybe a few little traces, but practically nothing. Even though that's where Buddha had his enlightenment, practically there is no Buddhism in India because of Shankara. He taught the principle that everything is one, impersonal oneness. That was very close to everything is void. So in this way, by twisting the sutras of Vedanta Sutra through expert grammatical manipulation, he reestablished Vedic culture in a very solid way, but with an impersonal understanding. But at the end of his life, he said, Bhajagovindam, 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 Mudhamate. You intellectual fools, your grammatical knowledge and word jugglery will not save you at the time of death. Simply worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. You see? But they were too addicted to the idea that I'm God. They didn't want to give it up. And they didn't. They stuck to his original doctrine. They wouldn't take his final teaching. They rejected his final teaching and stuck to the impersonal conception. So that impersonal conception is still lingering to this very day in India, and it's spread all over the world. The Beatles spread it. It's spread everywhere. That's why we pray, Nirvisheshu Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine, that Prabhupada is delivering this world, which is so full with impersonalism and voidism. So the idea that Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are one and the same is simply a manifestation of Shankara's doctrine, which was used to defeat Buddhism, but it was only a temporary measure meant for reestablishing Vedic culture. And then, after Shankara, then Krishna sent a whole series of Vaishnava Acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, culminating in himself coming as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, Shankara taught Advaita. Madhva taught Dvaita. So you had thesis, Advaita, antithesis, Dvaita, and then synthesis by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Achintya, Veda, Veda, Tattva. One said Advaita, the other said Dvaita, and Lord Chaitanya said simultaneously Dvaita and Advaita. He accepted both positions as simultaneous understanding, inconceivable. So this is the great contribution of the Krishna consciousness movement, begun by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see. That the Dvaita and Advaita philosophies have been synthesized into one beautiful transcendental understanding of reality. So yes, they are one in one sense. The Shankarites say one and the same, we say one and different. That's the difference. They say one and the same, we say one and different. That everything is one, we can accept because it is all Krishna's energy. Krishna's energy are non-different because they simply his expansion of him, his very self. Everything that exists is Krishna, actually, in that sense. But there is the expander Krishna and the expanded Krishna. You see, there's the energetic and there's the energy. We are Krishna's energy. We are not the energetic source. We are there's the emanated and the emanator. Krishna is the emanator, and everyone else and everything else is the emanated. So Brahma is emanated Even Vishnu is emanated. All three of them are emanated from Krishna. So in that sense, they're all one. They're all in the same category. They're all emanated from Krishna. But because they're all distinct individuals, therefore they are not one in that sense. So, if anyone will hear carefully the explanation given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, as we are explaining in our movement, they will be impressed. If they're an open-minded person who's actually willing to learn something, they're not intellectually constipated, they're willing to expand their outlook and their viewpoint, the whole world will accept. You see. That's a fact. We see the staunch Mayavadis, Prakashananda Sarasvati. He had 30,000 Mayavadi disciples in Benares. But he opened his mind and heart up to Lord Chaitanya. He heard carefully what Lord Chaitanya said, and he was convinced. He became Vaishnava, along with all of his disciples. They all became Vaishnava. You see. So if we simply present this philosophy as it is, then all of these persons who are still under the shadow of Shankara's temporary teaching of oneness, absolute oneness with no difference, then everyone will, the whole world can come to this understanding, Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Yes.
Throughout the histories and that, like people receiving different like spiritual masters and all that, the different acharyas that have come throughout the ages, they say, oh, this is the highest truth that's been given. Like one may say, oh, the truth that Vaishnavism is offering, Krishna consciousness, they say, oh, is there any higher truth than that?
What's he saying?
Different acharyas claiming to be the highest truth.
There is one highest truth given by Krishna, Raja Vidya. Krishna clearly declares in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 2, this knowledge is, Bhagavad Gita is the highest truth. So, nobody can claim to give the highest truth unless they're presenting Bhagavad Gita exactly as it is spoken by Krishna. If anybody speaks something else, they're simply a cheater. We should not accept. But anyone who is presenting Bhagavad Gita is exactly as is spoken by Krishna, they are bona fide spiritual men. That's it. Does that answer your question? Or is there something further?
You know, like in the future, will there be, because we can see right now that what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering and what we're hearing right now about God
In the future, will there be what?
Does it become more intimate?
Actually, full intimacy is already given by Srila Prabhupada. Everything is there. Prabhupada has revealed everything of the science of bhakti. It's not that we have to wait for some later acharya to take us to a higher level than what Prabhupada gave us. Prabhupada's teachings, Prabhupada's instructions, everything that ISKCON is offering gives the full equipment for one to achieve the highest perfection of Krishna Prema. It's not that Prabhupada was just some introductory teacher that other acharyas, it's not like he's Madhvacharya that had to be followed by Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, and Chaitanya for the philosophy to be fully delivered. That's a completely misunderstanding. If someone is thinking like that, it's an apparatus against Srila Prabhupada. They're trying to minimize him. They're trying to steal the show. We call it in drama, they're trying to upstage Srila Prabhupada out of envy. What Prabhupada has given is the supreme truth. Everything is given. Prabhupada is proven to be the most realized empowered acharya in the history of the universe because he is the only one who had the shakti to inundate the whole world with Krishna bhakti. He was the only one who had the vision, who had the potency to take Krishna consciousness all over the world. There will never be an acharya in the history who can take, who can lay claim to have spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. There is one acharya only who can lay claim to having done that. It is His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya, Astataraswati Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He's a unique acharya in the history. All we can do is serve Srila Prabhupada. That is our perfection. If we want to do the best service for the humanity, everyone should simply try to serve Srila Prabhupada, because he is the greatest acharya. Does that make it clear? Or is it still unclear? I'll be happy to try to clarify it more. What is it?
He says he's still a conditioned soul and he can't understand that at his level of realization.
Conditioned soul. My hearing's really shot.
He said he's a conditioned soul.
You're a conditioned soul.
And he doesn't understand that level of realization.
He doesn't understand that. Yes. So, then don't remain a conditioned soul. That's all. The fact is, at our present level, we are very conditioned. We're conditioned to think. I mean, you probably have the same illusion that everybody else does, that you're the body. I mean, we're all conditioned. Even though we know we're not the body, we identify with it practically at every second. So yeah, we are. All of us are conditioned right now. So how do we get out of that conditioning? We have to hear from the bona fide spiritual master. You see, who's transmitting the full potency of Krishna, the transcendental knowledge which liberates us from that conditioning by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master submissively and by rendering service. You know that verse. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tadvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. If we approach a bona fide spiritual master, even though we're conditioned right now, you see, we're very, very conditioned, there's no doubt. But if we will hear from a bona fide spiritual master with submissive oral reception and also render service to that spiritual master by that loving exchange of taking and giving, taking the knowledge and giving the service, then that conditioning becomes blown away, just like the clouds are blown away by a strong wind, and the bright sunny day of Krishna consciousness becomes fully manifested. Now we're covered by the clouds, you see. That is our conditioning. What if we will hear from and serve the bona fide spiritual master, and the powerful winds of Krishna will blow away those clouds, and the beautiful, clear day of Krishna bhakti will become fully manifest. Janena tu tad agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityam vajgagam prakashayati tatpadam. When one is enlightened by that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then that knowledge reveals everything, just as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. You see. So all you have to do is to become enlightened with that knowledge by which nescience, by which conditioning is destroyed, by hearing and by serving, those two things. Of course, the first service we do is we chant. That's our service. Chanting, serving with the lips, and then 16 rounds minimum, and then serving with the body also. You see, and by that hearing, and by that serving, then everything becomes revealed, all the conditioning is taken away, and you will actually achieve that position where you can directly speak with Krishna and see Krishna face to face. That day will come. Even you can achieve it in this lifetime, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada is giving us the means by which we can directly see and speak with Krishna even while we're in this body. Do you understand? What Prabhupada has given? What acharya has given that so easily? That one can directly see and speak with Krishna even within this very body. You see? Any other questions? So everyone's completely satisfied now? Ready to dive deeper, 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 deeper into the ocean of bhakti? Or does anyone have some doubts about this process? I'd be happy to, yes.
Mm-hmm. Then what is to be done for
The light?
Towards,
yes, yes. That's question is excellent. Thank you very much. What is your name?
Dr. Subhash Biala from India.
Oh, Dr.
Subhash Biala.
Subhash
Biala.
Biala? From India. What part of India are you from?
Amritsar, Punjab.
Amritsar. Oh, very good. Punjabi. Very good, very good. Thank you very much. So, your question is answered in the Sri Isha Upanishad. A wonderful, you know, the Upanishads, there's the Isha Upanishad. And in that book, for that person who is seeing the light, there is a wonderful instruction given. When you come to the point, if one reaches the point, one is seeing that beautiful divine light, then what you do is you pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, my dear Supreme Lord, please remove your dazzling rays so I can see your form that is emanating this light. You see? If a bright light is shining directly in your eyes, you become blinded by it. You see? So the devotee is praying, my dear Lord, please tone down that dazzling effulgence so I can see the form that's emanating this beautiful light. You see? If you think that divine light is so amazing and so wonderful, wait till you see the form that is emanating that light. Oh, then you're really seeing. Then you're really drinking the nectar through your eyes, you see. When you can see that form that is emanating that white light, that Brahma Jyoti, that is Krishna, you see. Therefore, the devotees pray, Premanjana Charito Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadaiva Hridayeshu Valokayanti Yang Shama Shundar Machit Yoganaspa Rupam Govinda Madipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Let's see. That when your eyes become anointed with what? Prem Anjana. It's interesting, this word Anjana, this is Sanskrit word for ointment. But in English, the word is there also, unguent. It's obviously coming from the Anjana word in Sanskrit. But anyway, English originally can be traced to Sanskrit. So this prem unguent, this prem ointment, this prem anjana, if you can anoint your eyes with this salve of love of God, you see. So where is the chemist, the drugstore, where you can get that prem anjana? We have it right here. Prabhupada is a pharmacist from Allahabad before even his householder days. So he has simply expanded his pharmacy business into a superior drug. Now Prabhupada is simply a chemist for Prem Anjana. And he is it is the ISKCON pharmacy. We are dispensing this Prem Anjana. So how do you apply this Prem Anjana? Through the ears. This is a very unusual eye ointment. Usually you put it in the eye directly. But this eye ointment, this Prem Anjana, you put it in your ears. And then from the ears it comes to your eyes and it completely purifies your vision so that you can directly see God face to face, eye to eye, you see. Within your heart, and Prabhupada said also, everywhere you go, everywhere you will see Krishna in his beautiful threefold bending form of Shama Sundra. So, for those people who are crazy after that white light, we encourage them to try to go to a higher level because the light gets boring after a while. There's no lila there. It's just a bright, blinding light. But when you can actually go beyond that light and see the beautiful dancing Lord who's having all kinds of inconceivably amazing pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan with his loving devotees, then you know you've really seen something. Bye-bye, Brahma Jyoti. Hello, Krishna. Any other questions? So everyone's fully satisfied now. All the doubts have been erased. Everyone's ready to surrender to that beautiful Lord Krishna. Or we still have some doubts hanging, lingering in the ether here. Come on, give me a doubt. I'd love to smash doubts. I'm a doubt killer. Yes. What's she saying?
We have so much information, but still we're doubting.
I know. You know, Prabhupada noted this. Did you ever hear that lecture in Los Angeles? This is amazing. Every time I think about it, it amazes me. Prabhupada said, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. Prabhupada really knew what he was dealing with, his disciples. He one time said, my disciples, they are like coal. No matter how much you wash them, they are still dirty. So what's our hope? The only hope I can see is if you squeeze coal tight enough, it becomes a diamond. So we just, you know, that's our hope. We just, even though we're dirty coal, we just have to somehow let Prabhupada put his lotus foot on us and press us so hard with his lotus foot that we turn into a diamond. That's our only hope. And so, yeah, what to do with that skepticism? I mean, it's really bad. I mean, it's really bad. But here's one simile that you can use to deal with it. Consider the ocean, okay? On the surface of the ocean, the turbulence of the waves is there. That's like the modes, you know, all the turbulence. But as you dive deeper and deeper into that ocean, the influence of the waves becomes less and less and less and less. And finally you reach a point where there's absolutely zero influence of those waves on the surface. So doubting, that is especially tamagun influences that, ignorance. And rajagun also, we're envious. Why can't I have all those gopis, you know? That's the envy factor, the rajaguna, you see. That's in the modes. But as you go deeper, deeper, deeper into the ocean, then it becomes less and less. So we if we're doing kirtan, we should dive deeper and deeper and deeper into that kirtan. If we're doing japa, if I'm cooking, if I'm cleaning, even cleaning the toilet in the Lord's temple, whatever I'm doing, I should try to do it really first class. And go deeper and deeper into perfecting that service. My godbrother, Uttama Shloka Prabhu, when he was a young, brand new devotee in the Detroit temple, he said, okay, Bhakta so-and-so, your service is to clean the guest toilet room. That's your, keep that toilet clean, you see. Now, most people go, look, yuck, toilet? Who wants to clean the toilet? You know, but he decided that he would take it as his the perfection of his existence to make that toilet absolutely spotlessly clean. And he did it with great enthusiasm, and actually he made great advancement just by cleaning that toilet in a very first-class way, you see. So any service that we are given by our temple authority, by our spiritual master, any service that we naturally have to do in our household life to make the home Krishna conscious, we should do that service with full absorption and try to go deeper and deeper into that service. And this way, the skepticism automatically goes away. It's a matter of higher taste. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a grihastha, he said in one bhajan he sings that one day while engaged in household duties, I saw my home transform into Goloka Vrindavan. Can you imagine? You're washing the dishes one night and you're really absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And all of a sudden, you're in Goloka Vrindavan. Can you imagine? You're no longer here in Christchurch. You're actually in Goloka Vrindavan. And the pastimes of the Lord are happening all around you. Just imagine how deeply you can go. Take any service you're doing and just go deeper, deeper, deeper into that service. Any activity of service is the portal, is the doorway into the transcendental kingdom. Prabhupada warned us, though, don't do it. Don't be sahaja about this, of imagining things. But by sincere service, you can actually see Krishna face to face. He warned us against sahaja mentality. But by sincere, humble service, the fact is that you can actually see Krishna face to face. So we should qualify ourselves. And Prabhupada ordered me, in a letter, he specifically ordered me to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. A direct order from his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, to the then Sankarshan Das Brahmachari, who's now Adhikari. But that order was given directly to me. Now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So with the order of the spiritual master comes the potency to carry out that order. So I'm begging for Prabhupada's potency, because I know on my own I'm absolutely disqualified. But by his mercy, anything is possible. So all of this skepticism will be once and for all finished on that day when you see Krishna face to face. That's a fact. That will be the final finish of all skepticism when you actually can see Krishna face to face. So now, Maharaji, you must qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face, and then skepticism will be history. Absolute, total history. Any other questions? Is our time up? Now is the time for some more kirtan. All right, so I thank you all very, very much for so kindly hearing. And all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.